one of the most familiar verses of Scripture, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God bless His word to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. It is sweet to come to You at any time of prayer. And so we pray that You would pour out the sweet grace that You have for us in heaven. Pour it out upon our hearts today, that as we hear Your word proclaimed, we would receive it in faith. And indeed, the doors of the kingdom of heaven would swing again wide open as we hear the gospel and believe that promise and know it is true for Your people. We pray that You would clear us from distraction. Bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of Salem Ebenezer Reformed Church and family and friends of Lloyd, this morning we gather to say goodbye to a loved one. We are sad. For the most part, it's unexpected. And it's difficult. We don't quite know how we're going to move forward with our lives without Him. We know that we have to, but how will we do it? God answers that question and many others with His perfect wisdom from on high today when He tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's perfect wisdom is true for us when we face death, and it's just as true for us when we face moving on in life, with all of the joys of life and the tears. About 6 years ago, I visited with Lloyd and Janet when they first heard of Lloyd's cancer and his chemo treatments had just begun that week. And we discussed how when a Christian goes through some big trial like that, for example, going through cancer, we are now thrust into the spotlight in the eyes of the world. They're watching us, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. And whether or not we express our faith, how we do it or don't do it, is in the spotlight. We're being called to be a light of the world in such a situation. And on that occasion, Lloyd himself referred to this scripture. He knew the trials ahead of him in fighting cancer or whatever difficulties may come would be challenging. He didn't ignore that fact. But he also had full confidence when he said, I know I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the Christian can face death today through Christ's strength. The Christian can face death and life through Christ's strength. That's the main point we want to look at today. In order to figure out how we can face death through Christ's strength, we're just going to ask two questions. According to this verse, what can I do? And then secondly, how can I do it? What can I do? And how on earth can I do it? What can you do? The apostle says, by inspiration of God, I can do all things. Now, is the Bible here authorizing, you might say, one of the first can-do attitudes, very positive here, I can do all things, I can do it. Well, it depends on what your definition is. We're not told that we can do whatever we set our mind to. We all know better than that. There's a lot of things we just simply can't do. There's a lot of people better than us at so many things in our life. At our job, there's probably people who are better than us at it, and there's people who are better than us at all sorts of sports. And no matter what we do, it's not going to change. The Apostle Paul is not saying here, if you want to do it, you can anyway. You just got to pray harder and you'll become a professional athlete. Or you get the greatest job, the highest paying salary. That's not what we're being told. The context of this verse is very important. This verse has been misquoted and abused as sort of a Christian self-help pep rally. Give yourself, I can do this, I can do this. We need to make sure we're reading this verse and the verses around it. Verses right before this verse tell us what the Apostle Paul's can-do attitude has to do with money. That surprise you? The Bible talks about money? About being positive? It does. The Apostle Paul says, I can do it. I can do it if I have money and if I don't. I can do it if I have food on the table, or if I have to skip a meal because there's no money for the food. There's no food in the cupboard. I can do it in times of financial security and financial insecurity. That's what the apostle is saying. I can do these things. That's the all, originally, what he's talking about. Notice in verse 11 and 12, he says, I'm not speaking in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased or poor and humble, and I know how to abound in prosperity. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it when the bills are paid or when the bills are owed, and I don't know where the money's going to come from. The Apostle Paul wanted us to know that he had contentment even in that time, but it was something he had to learn. You and I also have to learn contentment, whether it be with finances or in any area of our life. Now, some people, of course, are naturally seem to be more content. They seem to have a little better of what you might call a grin and bear it attitude toward things in the world, while other people might be more of the quick to complain variety. But let's not confuse that kind of outward contentment or resignation with the spiritual contentment being described in God's Word. This is not natural to anyone to be content with little or much. This is not to be confused with the grin and bear it attitude, oh well, whatever will be, I can't do anything about it anyway. That's not the attitude that the Christian is told to have, though sometimes we say it and we struggle with having that attitude. The Christian is content because we have learned contentment through the school of Christ. Christ has taught us to be content. It is His compassions that I lean upon. The apostle is telling the church here that sending him money to pay for his food so he can survive, he's telling them, thank you. But I want you to know I would have been content and God would have provided me in a different way even if you hadn't sent that money. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need God's contentment, His compassions every day. And He's so good to us, isn't He? He gives us His mercies new every morning. We sing, great is Thy faithfulness. He regularly strengthens us. And so when the apostle says in our verse, I can do all things through Christ, he's not saying, oh, I know everything will work out for the best. That's not what he's saying. So many people like to respond to tragedy and suffering in that way. But sometimes they don't really believe that. It sure sounds nice. Everything's going to work out for best. That's just what people say, but how is it going to work out for the best? And what is the best? I don't know. So many people believe in evolution. That there is no God that created the world. So how is there a God that's powerful enough to make these things work out for the best? So many people do not believe there's a God in control of this world. And they do not worship and love that God. And then here's the really the trouble. What does it mean to work out for the best? Are we really willing to let God decide what the best is for us in our life? I know all things will work out together for the best. Well, maybe this is the best for us. Doesn't feel that way at all, does it? But God knows what is best. And He cares for us in what is best. And He loves us in life and in death. And so the apostle says, I can be content, but not because I've got strong enough willpower and just a positive attitude, or not because I say, oh, I can't do anything anyway about it, so I might as well be content. No, he says, I can be content because Christ has taught me this. Contentment is a fruit of God's Spirit that only the true Christian has, to be content. So don't praise the Apostle Paul here today and think, oh, what a great guy. I wish I could have that kind of a faith to say I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, praise the Lord who worked this faith in the Apostle Paul. And I know Lloyd would say the same thing to us today. Don't praise him for remembering this verse on such an important occasion, but rather praise Christ who gives us this verse to remember on such an important occasions when we face cancer or death or life, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we don't pray, Lord, please give me cancer. That's not a prayer you ever hear us praying. But when God sends it, we say, yes, I can face that through Christ. He will strengthen me. He's going to have to, because I can't. But in Christ, I can. And He will strengthen me. And so I know I can go through it because He will keep His promises to me. So we have to ask ourselves, what can I do today? What can you do? The apostle said, I can do all things. All things includes a lot of things we'd rather normally avoid, like pain and suffering, things that frighten us. Things like talking to others about how they need Jesus just as much as we do, and we have to turn from our sin and trust in Him. It's a scary thing to tell someone that they're not going to heaven right now unless they have hope and trust and change their life and their faith. But God says we need to do that. We can do that only through Christ strengthening us. God might be calling you to go through a certain valley in your life. Maybe it's the shadow of death. Maybe it's the shadow of financial difficulty. Maybe it's something else. You know it. It's looming in your head even now. If you're a Christian, you rely upon Christ, you can say, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. One pastor put it this way, a very interesting way. God is never going to ask you to do something you can do. God will never ask you to do something you can do. He only asks us to do something we can't do unless we lean upon Christ's strength to do it. And so don't be surprised at how impossible everything seems, how overwhelmed and stressed you constantly feel. We should feel that way. And so we lean upon Christ and His strength day by day. Can we be patient with customers at work? With our bosses, with store clerks, with our spouses, we can. Can we truly get up in the morning and go to work with a happy, cheerful, motivated attitude every day? We can do all things through Christ. Can kids go back to school with all the excitement and joy to study hard and take exams and wait in long lines, all the excitement they ought to? They can through Christ who strengthens them. How will we do it? That's the last thing we'll look at. How is it that we can do the things God's calling me to do in this life, right now, whatever my calling is? How will I do it? Jesus will strengthen us to serve Him. Philippians 4 continues in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word strengthen there literally has the idea of making able, to empower someone, to enable you to do something you cannot do without it. Can we go to heaven without the strength of Christ? Can we rise from the grave without the strength of Christ? Can we even have faith to believe a single promise of God in His Word and take it seriously without the strength of Christ? We constantly need Him, don't we? Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, He says, I am the vine, you are branches connected to me as the vine, and he who abides in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. You cut a branch off the vine, and it's dead. It's not connected. It has no source of life. And if you live without Christ, unconnected, you will die. It is plain. The Scripture speaks regularly of our need to live by Christ's strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. As Ephesians 6, telling us how to be spiritual warriors. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Apostle told Timothy. And we are strengthened with might by Christ's Spirit in our inner being, says Ephesians 3, verse 16. This talk about strength that God has is really good news, but there's also a bad news component to it. It's bad news because that means you and I need strength. Another way of saying it is that we're weak. I'm weak. You're weak. We don't have it all together. We have to admit that. We can't be the employee we're called to be, the father or mother or grandfather or grandmother that we're called to be. We can't be the good boy or the good girl that we're called to be. We cannot love others. We can never hope to have peace and happiness in this world, much less in the next, as long as we lean on our own ideas, on our own understanding, and on man-made religions. Why is it that so many people cannot do all the things that they're called to do in this world? Because they try to do it without Christ. Because they're too proud to admit that Christ is Lord and no one else is Lord. They need Christ to strengthen them. And so we go about our family on our own. We go about our jobs on our own. We go about our recreational life on our own. When we are our own Lord, it is a terrible and disastrous thing. What did we confess as the only comfort? Not just a comfort, but the only comfort in life and in death. It's that I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the good news. I'm not my own. I need Christ, and He is here for me. The good news of Scripture again and again reminds us that Christ can do what we cannot do. He is God. He is strong enough. He's more than strong enough. We read from Psalm 18 about that. We said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. You see, this is where the Christian faith is so different from the self-help faith of our culture. When we ask the question, so many in our culture, how will I do it? How can I do what I'm asked to do in this world and in my family and my calling in life? We cannot do it by our own strength. We cannot even do it with the help of a few really good friends, though they're very helpful. I can face my day, my life, and my death, and everything in between, only with Jesus and through Jesus. Our lives are Christ-centered, or they're not, which means they're self-centered. Every one of you, almost every one of you, except for my family, I think, came here in a car today. In that car, you put gas in that car. You don't try driving around in that car without gas. You can't get very far once the fumes run out. So many of us who are designed and created in God's image try to live and get around places in this world without any gas in the tank, without Christ, without His strength, without Christ living in us. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And now is the time to admit it. You know what? It doesn't work. I need Christ. It's not too late to come to Him. To live as God has called me to live. And where does this strength of Christ come from? It's obvious, isn't it? It comes from Christ Himself, given to His people in love for those whom He died for on the cross. And Christ gives us this strength when we hear His Scripture, when we pray to Him, Lord, I can't do this thing. So I pray to you because with you I can do it somehow. Help me. And Christ maybe sends another Christian along to give you a word of encouragement, or you get a note in the mail that encourages you, says you can do this thing. I'm praying for you. These are all things, evidences of God's compassions and love, unfailing love that He shows to you to help you do whatever it is that is troubling you. I was reminded recently in thinking about the things that I remember about Lloyd that every year our teens put together an appreciation dinner for the seniors of the congregation. And usually at that appreciation dinner, the teenagers play a game called Name That Tune. And they play a little hymn, a couple of lines, and then they stop and they wait to see who raises their hand first to guess which hymn it was that they just played. And Lloyd was almost always the first one to raise his hand. He always knew those hymns. It didn't matter which one they played. Because, you see, he knew that his strength that really got him going, his source was not in himself, but in constantly living a life that praised the Lord and depended on Him and meditated and wasn't afraid even to sing and to play music to God. Death is something a Christian can do. It is not something an unbeliever wants to face. I was speaking with an unbeliever recently and told them I had prayed for them, and they said, "Oh good, now I won't die." I said, "I didn't say that. I just said I would pray for you that the operation would go well." I said, "You're going to die someday. Might be tomorrow, might be years from now." They don't want to face that reality. But you and I, who have faith in Christ, can face death. Because we can do all things, even that, through Christ who strengthens me. And if we can face death through Christ, then we can also face life through Christ who strengthens me. And so we're called, as those who are still living in this world, to face life this day and this week through the power and words of Christ, who alone can strengthen us. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Almighty and merciful God, You are our only comfort and support. You do not delight in grieving or afflicting Your children. And so we pray that You'd look down in tender love and pity upon Your servants in this bereaved household whose joy has been turned into mourning. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint under Your fatherly chastening, but may find in You their strength and refuge, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.